Baruch HaBoim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night's Parsha class. This Parsha is Parsha Shalach. And right now today is Chof Gimel Sivan Tav Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar, June 15th, 2020. Parsha Shalach is one of the saddest Parshios in the Torah. Why is one of the saddest parashiyot? Because it's because of the event that took place in Parashat Shalach that is the result of us being in Golus till today. Had it not been for the incident of the Meraglim and the things that pursued afterwards, we would not be here in Golus. It's indeed a very sad parasha. But yet, we have to learn from the parashiyos that we are reading. We have to learn history. We have to learn from history in order that we don't have to repeat history. Let's begin with the details of the parasha. The parasha begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. If you have a chumash, it's Perek Yud Gimel at the very beginning. Shalach lecha anoshim, send for you, for yourselves, men, and they shall spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the Bnei Yisrael. There will be a man from each shevet, and they will be sent to spy out the land. And Rashi says these were tzaddikim, kulam anoshim. Rashi says kol anoshim shebemikra lashon chashivus va'oisos shok shesherim hayu. At that moment they were kosher, they were tzaddikim. And the Torah continues on, telling us in pasuk chaf hey that they went ahead and they spied out the land, Vayoshuvu mitoha oretz, and they returned back from spying the land, Miketa boem yoim, at the end of 40 days. Vayelchu v'yavo el Moshe v'el Aharon, and they came back to Moshe and Aharon, v'el kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, and to all of the Jewish people, el midbar poron, kedesha to midbar poron, which was towards Kodesh. But Yeshivu Oysam Dovar, and they reported back the following, Velkola Eza, and to all of the people of the congregation of Yisrael, Vayarum es pri ha'oretz, and they showed the fruit of the land, these gigantic fruit, the cluster of grapes that needed eight people to carry, and the one fig and the one pomegranate that only one person was able to carry. Vayisapu lo, vayomru, and they told over to him, vayomru, banu el ha'oretz, we have come to the land asher sholach tanu, which you have sent us. Vagam zavas cholav adoshi, and it's a lamb flowing with milk and honey. Vizeh pirya, and these are its fruits. Ephes, but ki az ha'om ha'yoshe ba'oretz, the people are tough and mighty and strong. Ve'orim b'tzuas gedolos ma'od, and their cities are fortified with tall fortresses. Ve'gam yilidei ha'anok ra'inu sham, and we've seen giants roam the land. And not only that, surrounding that land is Amalek. Amalek Yoshe Be'erez HaNegev. V'Hachiti V'Yavusi V'Amori Yoshe Behor. All the other nations that we are going to have to fight are right around there. Yoshe Behor V'Haknani Yoshe V'Alayam V'Alyat HaYarden. They painted the picture. We have enemies all around Eretz Canaan. And the whole congregation went up in a commotion, and everybody was shocked. Vayas Kolev Esom El Moshe, and Kolev quieted down, and Vayomer Although, we certainly can go up. We will take over the land. We will certainly be able to overcome them. But the other 10 Meraglim said, no, lo nuchal, we can't. We can't go up. Because they are stronger than us. And Rashi comments on this. Who is not able? What did it mean, lo nuchal? And they were referring to Chas v'Shalom Hashem. They openly said that Hashem is incapable. And then the pasuk continues, v'yotzi dibas ha'oret asher Torah Yisrael b'nei Yisrael. And they spoke lashon hara on the land, which they have spied out for the Jewish people, Lema, to say, Ha'aretz asher avarni v'alasor oisa eretz ochela shoshvera. This land that we spied out is a land that eats its inhabitants. V'cholom asher ve'inu b'socha anshi midos. They have put a tremendous fear in the people. And the pasuk later starts off saying, Vatisa kol ha'eda. And the entire congregation lifted up their voices, v'yitnu es kolam, and they placed forth their voice, v'yivku ha'om ba'laylahu. And in that night they cried. That was the night of Tisha B'Av. Their calamitous report created such commotion, such unbelievable fear and shock in the B'nai Yisrael, that they cried that night, and then later on claiming, why did Hashem bring us here to go kill us out in the desert? And this started the beginning of the end of the Jewish people going to Eretz Israel. Let's understand what has happened. The Lashon Hara that was spoken on Eretz Israel was so dreadful and so destructive that instantly, as soon as the B'nai Yisrael heard what happened, all of a sudden, they were petrified, and they were shocked, and they were put in a state of hysteria. How could this all have happened? Let's understand and let's study the situation. The Jewish people have experienced so many miracles. How could the Meraglim have opened up and frightened the Jewish people? How could the Meraglim have said that Hashem can't take us and bring us to Eretz Israel? If Hashem was able to split the Yam Suf, something that was never done in the world, if Hashem is able to lead them in the desert, with the Ananiah cover. Then we talked about the Ananiah cover last week. These were miracle clouds. Undeniable. How could the Meraglim speak this way? When the Jewish people were eating man, food from heaven, that was nutritious and tasted like anything, how could the Meraglim speak this way? When they were drinking water from a rock, and everybody was quenched, all thirsts were quenched. How could the Meraglim speak this way? How? The Rosh Yeshiva, Harav Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Sefer Be'er Mechokek, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, was one of the two top Rosh Yeshivas who brought Tel's Yeshiva from the ruins of Tel's in Europe, who replanted Tel's in Cleveland, who was the Rosh Yeshiva and the innovator of Tel's Yeshiva Chicago, where I grew up and I learned my Torah there under the tutelage of Avram Chaim Levine, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says a very important answer. The Rosh Yeshiva says, and I'll read it, Shahari Ro'u, they saw all these miracles. How in the world could they have spoken this way? He answered, and the answer is because they were mechusa emuna. They had lacked emuna. There was something in their very being that they were doubting Hashem's existence or Hashem's power to be able to do all this. But it's still very hard to believe. How could that be? How could that be? So, in the Sefer Chidekel, from Rechaim Dov Kelishlit, it brings down the famous Ramban. And Ramban explains that when they saw these giants and they were petrified, they had been challenged. Their emuna was being challenged. Now, why all of a sudden would their emuna be challenged? So he brings down from the Zohar HaKadosh a very interesting answer. The Nesi'im, on their way to do the spying out in Eretz Israel, had ulterior motives. They knew that they were not going to remain Nesi'im if they would go to Eretz Israel and become part of Eretz Israel. Here they were Nesi'im, special leaders and people in the desert. But there in Eretz Israel, they would lose their position. And therefore, they had this underpinning feeling that if we are going to end in Eretz Yisrael, we are not going to become Nesi'im. So all of a sudden, their little doubts of Emuna kicked in, and all of a sudden, they became vulnerable to looking at giants and tall structures and the gigantic fruit that fed these giants. And therefore, they suddenly had their emunah shaken. But I personally have my own question. But they believed and they lived, and we spoke about it last week. Al pi Hashem yachnu, val al pi Hashem yisou. The Jewish people are living like in Gan Eden. They had Hashem protect them all around, and the Shekhinah was all around. What got into them that they should all of a sudden be weak in their emunah when they had seen so much miracle? And I want to suggest, as Rashi does last week, it was the cause of the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav were those who instigated the complaining about the traveling, the complaining about the mun, and they wanted food, and they did not have the proper emunah that the Jew was supposed to have. So they poisoned with their venomous poison the lack of emunah in Klal Yisrael. And this is a time when the Meraglim were vulnerable. They were very vulnerable. And because they were vulnerable, they four fell, and they end up speaking Lashon Hara. We see from over here that Lashon Hara is so destructive. I mean, today we don't need too many examples. We're living in a pandemic where one bug has created destruction, wreak havoc over the entire world, physically, emotionally, socially, financially, just one bug. And we're still not over with this pandemic. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We're still under this shadow of this disease. And we can see what one bug can do to an entire world. The calamitous report of the Meraglim to tell Klal Yisrael, who were not there, but heard from the Nesi'im, who are well-respected leaders of the Jewish people, that we can't go there. And they all said in unison, it's impossible. And they drowned out their claim and the voice and the heroic efforts of Kalev ben Yefuna and Yeshua ben Nun, all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael fell. They listened to the Lashon Hara, and that night they cried. They cried the bitter, eternal cry. Hashem said, you cried a bechiyah shel chinam, a bechiyah for nothingness, and I promise you, you'll cry a bechiyah shel dayres, a bechiyah for generations. And because of this, because they fell, and they listened to the Lashon Hara, the Jewish people have cried through the generation till today. We have a Tisha B'Av every year. And it's a Tisha B'Av that's not just a Tisha B'Av for just the Beis HaMikdash, but it's also, it's a memorial for all of the tzaras that Klal Yisrael goes through throughout the ages. All because of the Lashon Hara that was spoken in the desert. I wanted to add maybe another insight to all of this that would help us understand why the Lashon Hara at the time was so devastating and so crippling. Why did it paralyze the Jewish people to the point where Klal Yisrael was nearly destroyed? Where Hashem says, let me destroy the people. And Moshe quickly spoke in behalf of Klal Yisrael, Yigdal nor koyach Hashem, let with the greatness of Hashem stand forth. Let not there be a chil Hashem, and the goyim will say that the Jewish people were slaughtered in the desert because the Almighty wasn't able to bring them into Eretz Canaan. Hashem listened to Moshe, and only the Meraglim were killed. And the Jewish people who cried for nothing from those 20 of the age of 20 and older were destined to die in the desert. And they were supposed to end up in 11 days in Eretz Israel, got stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. We could have been Eretz Israel with the Beis HaMikdash and with Mashiach, but look what the destructiveness of the Lashon Hara did. It was a destruction of all time. We know the destructiveness of Lashon Hara from the story I just told you. And the Torah and brings out in the Gemara Erechin very harsh words. Shaka Lashon Hara kineged avodah zarah v'gilui arayos u'shfichas damim. Lashon Hara is comparable to the three worst averus. Avodah zarah, idolatry, gilui arayos, immorality, u'shfichas damim, and murder. That is how bad it is. And the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, it's the cause of so many social ills. It's a cause of a tremendous amount of social destruction. And Hashem, we know from the last parsha, was so sensitive to even the minutest amount of Lashon Hara that happened with Miriam Hanavieta, where she hinted something negative about Moshe Rabbeinu not being married to Tzipporah, and Hashem punished her very harshly. He reprimanded her and then made her a mitzora'as, and she was excommunicated from Klal Yisrael for 7 days. That's just for the hint. How the Torah takes Lashon Hara so harshly. We know from learning the laws of Lashon Hara, especially for those who are familiar with Guard Your Tongue, that it's possible in one statement of Lashon Hara, a person could violate 32 averus. It's terrible. 17 los assays and 14 assays. 17 negative prohibitions and 14 positive mitzvahs for one statement. It's terrible. And we see from this parsha its destruction. We know if Hashem is so, so upset with speaking Lashon Hara, and we see Mavis V'chaim B'yada Lashon, how death and life are in the hands of the tongue, how it's, so it can ruin lives, it ruins marriages, it ruins people's jobs, it destroys relationships. People stop speaking to one another for years and years. Families who have been upset with each other don't invite each other to each other's chasnas and simchas, all through Lashon Hara. It's literally poison that has destroyed the achdus. On a simple, deeper level, we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so negative. Because if Lashon Hara is so destructive and destroys the achdus, and Hashem wants there to be unity between Klal Yisrael, so then Lashon Hara is the venomous poison that destroys the achdus. And we have to be so very careful in this particular avera. A marshal, the Chavetz Chaim says, a marshal, what would be if a person had no speech? And he went from doctor to doctor, and the doctors all over the world couldn't help him. He finally went to one professor, and he examined him, and the professor says, after a long, lengthy operation, I think I can handle it. And the patient agrees to this long and painful operation. After the operation is over, lo and behold, the patient is able to speak. And you can imagine how happy the patient would be. How would you feel? And what would you say if the patient would go ahead and slander the doctor for having given him his speech back? That would have been such a chutzpah, such a terrible a lack of a chorus at all. You couldn't speak all your life, and now you're able to speak, and now you're going to slander the doctor. Hashem is giving us the power of speech. With speech, we are able to differentiate ourselves from an animal to a human being. We have das, we have knowledge, and we're able to express the knowledge. Hashem gives us this ability of speech. How dare we use the speech against Hashem when Hashem says, be careful? This is on a very simple level. We can see on a simple social level how Lashon Hara can destroy achdus, destroy friendships, and destroy Klal Yisrael. But I heard an amazing insight from a Rabbi Mendel Kessin, and I was very taken by his insight. This Rabbi Kessin speaks about Shmir Saloshan. He's also a therapist, I believe, and he's a family counselor. He has to deal with all sorts of issues. And he said some interesting insights that I've never heard before. He said, there is a rule how Hashem judges people. Hashem judges everybody midah keneged midah, measure for measure. When a person will leave this world and he has to come up to the heavenly tribunal, he's going to be presented in front of Hashem's court, and Hashem's going to be asking him different questions. And at the moment he enters the courtroom, the Satan is there with his, so to say, portfolio. And he is there ready to let that person really have it. And he wants to tell Hashem what he has done in his youth and what he has done when he was in his middle age and what he has done when he was older and what mitzvahs he has done and what mitzvahs he didn't do and what he violated and what he didn't violate and how he was disrespectful and how he was callous to so many mitzvahs. Hashem says, before you open up your portfolio, let me find out. We have a rule, Mida Keneged Mida. If this person doesn't speak Lashon Hara or spoke Lashon Hara and did tshuva, then you have no right to open up your portfolio and speak Lashon Hara against him. If this person has spoken Lashon Hara and did not do tshuva on his Lashon Hara, then you can open up your portfolio and tell us what you have to say about him. Could you imagine what is going to happen in the world to come? Mida connected Mida, because if a person speaks against others, then the Satan can speak against us. If we are careful not to speak against others, then the Satan has no right to speak against us. And we put a lock, so to say, on his mouth, and we chase the Satan out of the courtroom, and he has no chance to cause us destruction, humiliation, and punishment. This is a shocking revelation. This is what happens when a person speaks Lashon Hara in this world. When a person speaks Lashon Hara in this world, not only does he have social problems, not only does he live a miserable life where people start looking down at him because he's always speaking about others, it's his own future in Olam Haba, in the world to come, is at stake. Where there he is put into such a precarious situation where he might be indicted by the Satan himself, because if he speaks against others, why can't the Satan meet the connect and meet a measure for measure speak against him? And this is the frightening reality about Lashon Hara. So not only is Lashon Hara a history that took place in Parshas Shalach, that it was the cause for us to be here in Golis so many thousands of years later, it's not only the cause for the dissension, social unrest, social destruction in our own lives, but look at our future in Olam Haba, how it puts us in such tremendous, tremendous danger. How can we try to improve in the area of Shmiras HaLashon? And I'd like to make a few important suggestions. We are all very familiar with the many, many publications of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, where there are famous books all over the world are written about Lashon Hara. It's a famous book that probably one of the most popular is called Guard Your Tongue, that teaches you the laws of Lashon Hara. And the cause of Lashon Hara is mainly because of ignorance. We don't think there's anything wrong with it, and there are many laws that are attached to it, and it's too tedious, and it's not worth spending time learning it. There's a combination of excuses which don't amount to anything. We need to start learning the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, laws of Lashon Hara, and that's the first step towards it. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller Shlizel, told me when I was a Talmud that whatever laws you learn, you get a special siyata d'shmaya, help from heaven to be protected in those laws. For example, Shmir Shabbos is very, very complicated and very, very numerous. But if you start learning laws of Shabbos, Hashem will give you a special siyata d'shmaya, a special protection, where He'll help you not violate any of the laws, to help you live through Shabbos without desecrating anything, even by accident. There's a special heavenly help for people who try to learn the laws of that particular mitzvah. If you learn the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, it helps you as well. We say in Shemona Esrei, another idea to present to you, we say, Elokai, Netzol Lishayni Meiras, Rasai Medaber Mimo. We daven Shemona Esrei every day. Have Kavana in the last part of Shemona Esrei. Pray to Hashem. Have in mind when you say, Elokai, my God, Netzol Lishayni Meiras, protect my tongue from evil. Rasai Medaber Mimo, and my lips from speaking mirma, trickery. We could daven for it. And if Hashem sees that you're sincere, Hashem will help you. The third thing is something that is happening as I'm talking to you right now. There was a new project that was launched in Toronto. I don't know about the other cities throughout the states, but here in Toronto, for 40 days, there is a program called Machsom Lefi, keeping your mouth quiet, not to talk about other people. For 40 days, from the hours of 7 to 8, the entire community is asked to try to join in this citywide project to be able to control what you say for 1 hour. Not to talk about anybody that could possibly be negative. For 1 hour, from 7 to 8, and make up your mind, come what may, this hour, I will not speak about anybody. I'm not going to talk any bad, anything that could be hinting to bad about anybody. For 40 days, it's compared to the 40 days the Jewish people, right? We know the Meraglim went to spy out the land. They did it for 40 days, and the Jewish people were punished for 40 years. Let's try, as a community, to try to control our mouths for 1 hour. From the hours of 7 to 8 p.m. It begins today for 40 days. This is endorsed by the Vada Rabbanim of Toronto, and this will be a schush, a protection for our community, and a refuah shalema for all the cholim of Klal Yisrael. For those who are interested and want to be able to find out more information about this citywide project that's now happening, there is an email address. It's Toronto Machsom, Toronto, TORONTOMACHSOM, at CCHFGLOBAL.org. Again, Toronto Machsom at CCHFGLOBAL.org. If you plug into that site, you'll find out more information, and I think it's something that would be a terrific idea. It's an opportunity to strengthen your own resolve and not speaking Lashon Hara and getting better and helping the community be blessed with health and refuah shalema for those who are cholim, are ill. It is a schus for Klal Yisrael that an entire city, and remember the numbers of an entire Toronto Jewish community, together want to improve in the mitzvah of Shmiras HaLashon by trying to care for being in control for 1 hour a day. between 7 and 8 p.m. May we be zeicher to all the blessings that will be coming forth to us by being careful not to speak Lashon Hara and to be caring about other people. And if you hear other people speak, you can always tell them it's inappropriate and maybe it's Lashon Hara, and we try not to speak and be vigilant on this mitzvah. It'll be a tremendous schuz for you, a schuz for your family, and schuz for the community. Have a wonderful week. Kol tov.